Blog Talk Radio.
Evening, my friends. Well, tonight I have turned down the lights and it's very quiet here tonight. We do have a little background music. Man, I can ask for it to be on. I love this radio, Blog Talk Radio. In fact, I was a little surprised at how many offers there are out there of other blog talk forums that people can give interesting and informative talks. Tonight is also a very fun and an extension of another evening that we had before. I had had some requests to explore for the second time a second subject of those things that scare us. Now, my forum is Soul Survival, and through the search of Soul Survival, I have been clearly amazed at the different levels of existence after death. And my journey, for those who are listening to me for the first time tonight, of course, I'm Nancy Matz, and my website is nancymatz.com. And as I was saying, if you read my bio, it is to explore what happens to us after death. And it was a very serious subject for me following cancer. And through the exploring of psychic development, which led to my understanding of mediumship, I was very excited to find that we do survive. At first it was, I want to know. And then secondly, then I wondered, could I be scared by these people? They show up all the time. Yet in my own life, as you would hear kids around a campfire at camp, let's hear the scary stories. So in my mind, I had a hard time thinking I would be scared if I were startled or if I was taken off guard. And some movies, like I'm going to mention here tonight, did scare me. And I would sit back and say, well, I know that's a pretend movie. The plot is created in someone's mind. Yet if I listen to a scary story or if I watch The Haunting of Hill House, or Alfred Hitchcock, where the shadows and the noises, but not necessarily the witnessing of gore, I would be just as scared. And I started wondering, then, is it our minds that scare us, or is there actual presence of somebody that can scare us? I read a lot. The last few years, I've not watched as much TV, but I always kind of zero in on those shows and those movies that kind of catch my eye, and we want to get scared. Some of the biggest audiences out there, and our young people, and they're always seeing these awful, terrible, gory things. And my son, he was real interested in something called Hellraiser or something like that. These creatures from the deepest, darkest pit of hell would come up. And years ago, I think it was 90, and the first Hellraiser came out, and he says, oh, Mom, can I watch at your house? And I couldn't. I went to the other room. But special effects have always got my eye, just like the movie Aliens. We know that's not true, but how scared were we when we visualized her going into the cave and seeing all the pods of the hatchlings of the alien? So later on, when I tried to watch it for the aesthetic value, I'd have that remote control in my hand, and I know some of you have done this, where you go, and my son said, Mom sees movies in 20 minutes in a two-hour movie, and I would zip through it until I saw special effects. And here I am. I do this for a living, yet I can be scared, or maybe I don't like the gore, whatever it is. I laugh, yet I'm serious, because there's in each of us that thrill. We really do want to get scared. We want to see if we can be tested. Does it really, really bring to mind the good and the bad and everything, the heaven and hell and everything? Do we on some secret level think that if we watch something that was true of the most of the goriest of the gory shows, and the one that comes to mind, and I haven't seen any of them, was that Freddy versus somebody else, and my gosh, the young people can watch us and get screaming in the theater and watch out. They leave and they're all laughing. And I go, they just lost 14 body parts. Saw someone lose 14 body parts and they're laughing and they're screaming at the same time. In their world, that is still not a reality. As we get older and we take away the years of our clock, then does that gore hinder us from wanting to watch it more? And the Alfred Hitchcock movies, do they hurt us deeper? Do we then turn to spirituality? Do we turn to the church? Because then the gore represents our immortality. Do movies like The City of Angels, when we have visitations come around, does that settle us to think, well, if that's, is that possible? Yet we can still get scared. There's a movie out that really scared me, and there's a few that do. Not The Haunting of Hill House, came out in the 60s with Vincent Price. I saw that as a rerun. There was another one that came out in the 60s. I saw that as a rerun. I didn't see it the first time around. But later on, I saw it and it scared me. Another one that scared me was the Lost Soul one. Came up about the same time. It was a gal that drowned in the river, and she was actually a dead person, and they came after her. Scared the dickens out of me. There's another one just came out a while back. It was called Haunted. I have it in front of me here. And it was very interesting about a young man who witnesses his sister's drowning in the family home, and he moves away, and he's invited to come back to settle the stories of it being haunted. If you have a chance, rent the movie called Haunted, H-U-N-T-E-D. The main lead is Aidan Quinn, A-I-D-A-N-Q-U-I-N-N. The other names I'm not familiar with, Anthony Andrews. Anyway, some of the stars you'll recognize, but it scared me. And here I'm in the business. So I think our minds are split between what we call our everyday reality and the supernatural versus what I call the realness of the universe, meaning that we're energy. And that is hard sometimes to balance in our mind because we all like to be scared. We like to jump into science fiction. One of the scariest movies I ever saw was Aliens. And could that be real? Maybe that's why it scared me, because the thought of science fiction being not science fiction anymore, is that why we watch some of those kinds of movies? What I would like to have is pretty soon, I've left an hour and a half for the show tonight, and I'm going to talk another 15, 20 minutes. I'd like to open it up, and I would like to call and tell me what scares you. By doing so, we can explore, see if it was real or not. And I had a wonderful conversation with a lovely lady who got scared by an interdimensional creature. Is it real? It was to her. Is it possible? Absolutely. Does it mean it's going to happen again? More likely not. Does that scare us? Is that part of something we can't understand? Absolutely. Things in the universe, like hearing a voice out of nowhere, Camille, interdimensionally can reach through the time limits of what we call the known universe. Can that scare you? Once you get used to something, I think it scares you less, and you become familiar with it. Not hardened, but familiar. It's that one time I heard someone say that we people, human beings of this generation, harden to gore. Like we can watch the detective shows. We can watch coverage on the war. We can watch the most gory of gories and laugh. Are we hardened to it? We're getting used to it. So spirituality is also getting used to it. If I say I talk to spirit people every day, I'm not only used to it, I'm grateful, I'm excited. A lady calls and says she's a widow. Wow, okay, I get someone to talk to in spirit land. So to them, that's scary. To me, it's wonderful. So as we become scared of one dynamic, then we become used to the other. But at the same time, that proverbial twisting and turning, do I want to get scared? Do I go to the bedroom, say my husband's gone or you're left alone, and you go into the room that you've always shared with somebody, and you turn off the lights and you realize it's really quiet. And then you hear a noise. Where is that noise really coming from? I have the lights lit dim in here a little bit. It's very cozy. I have my coffee here, and it's quiet. What if I were to hear a noise? Oh, the dog would bark. We're at the end of a street. What's really happening out there? Do we wish to be scared? Do we want to be scared? Are we looking to be scared? Where's the rationale in saying we are not to be scared unless we're given something to think about, to be scared about? I think that's human nature. In the primitive times, we all were very intuitive. I believe that everybody who lived and what we call the most primitive of man had to have some kind of instinct to know where to hunt, to know where to walk, and where to go for safety. Like migration, is that the sixth sense or is that a homing device? Rather, it's a homing device or a ability, like the pigeons, to clue into magnetism of the planet, or we call a higher sense of intuitiveness that saved us from an onslaught of a woolly bear, or is that where we knew to go to get food? That which was normal for us and what was part of us has been buried, except for a few of us, probably every few blocks in every little town in the community and every big city in the world, there's people with these abilities. Some of us hone into it and use it as a career. But I think we all have the gift. And those of us that have the gift, that have the sense, and those of you who have the gift and don't acknowledge it, there's still that twinkling inside of caution and of danger. Is that what's really kicking in? Are you trying to attune to that natural gift that you have within you by being scared? Are we trying to dig up those abilities again and make us safe? I think there's some truth to that. I believe that within every one of us is the self-preservation mode that's kicked in with that intuitiveness, we call the sixth sense, ESP, or psychicness, that wants to be there so that we prolong life and live our life and procreate the planet. And that intuitiveness there is there to help us stay alive longer. And that's also the trigger that says, I'm afraid. You know that when a child's born, one of the fears that is learned, one of the fears that is not learned is the fear of falling. And so the infant always knows that falling is bad. And the other fears, or self-taught or taught by somebody else to us. So instincts, by watching the caveman father and mother run when nothing was apparent, but they had that instinct, taught the child there could be fear out there. So the child would cling to the parent, as a child would today, say, there's fear out there. My instincts tell me if I see mommy and daddy with a scared look on their face, I know that I'm going to be frightened. So we're all kind of watching for the frightenedness that's out there. Part of that is so embedded, so deep into our psyche, and even DNA. Do I want to say it's DNA? Well, why not? That self-preservation is so deep within us that that psychic level, that's also varied because we have cell phones, we have TV that tells us, we have GPS on our cars. We don't need that psychic ability now to get us to where we need to be. But I wonder if during the wars, World War I, II, Korean, all those wars, that people didn't turn on those abilities, that many of the people listening tonight would say, you know, I heard a story about someone who saved their life. They just knew. And the same with a mother with a brand new baby. We just knew to listen to that heartbeat in the next room. So that's all coexisting with us with that fear. Now, when we talk about, maybe very carefully, I will say, all right, now I've talked about some things that maybe you haven't associated. Maybe it's something to do with our self-preservation, the psychic mode, and wanting to be scared. But there really is things to be scared about. And if I said to you that one of the reasons I believe I'm good at what I do is over the years I've attuned my energy and manipulated it and moved it about by the nerve endings most close to my surface of my skin. That sounds kind of far out. But I realize that I'm very sensitive. I don't like woolly things against my skin. I like softness. And it's because I'm more sensitive than most. But what if I said to you, because of that, I have a greater sense of those things that we wish not to be. And that means an evil eye or someone that doesn't like me. Or perhaps a dog down the street who's in a growling mood. I will have a sense of that long before I see it. Okay, so what if we're quiet at night? And there is a spirit that's, we talked about this last week or the week before about possession. Do I sense it, feel it? Absolutely. What about somebody, and this is something probably not thought of. What about if you're really scared and you have no answer and no reason to be? Maybe there's a sense of higher anxiety, whether you're alone and quiet in your house, or you're driving and you say, I'm fearful. Are you picking up the premonition of something? Perhaps the premonition of an impending car wreck? Are you picking up that you're going to step off the curb and hurt your ankle, and that's fearfulness? Or perhaps you're picking up the fear of somebody else. There is frightful things out there. And cities across America where personal safety is always an issue, people are more on guard. It's like in the African plains. Those animals that are most fearful of the lion, tigers, and bears, oh my, are we going to be more sensitive to the energy of an animal on the prowl? Same with human beings on the prowl of other human beings. Instead of a wild animal, as in the caveman times, maybe what we still have, and we don't always call it that, that preservation and psychicness of impending harm, whether it be from a human or an animal or a vehicle, is still part of what you're about. But what I'm interested in is the idea that what you could be picking up is a fear of somebody else. There was a wonderful show on a while back about twins, identical twins, it doesn't matter, fraternal twins are just as close. And one of the twins was telling a story about how his brother had been murdered. It happened to be fraternal twins. And the twin that was traveling was all in Africa on a business trip. And his brother was in the Philadelphia, New York. And if someone wants to correct me, that's okay. And the chat room is open, and it's 15 after. So if you have your pencils, I would love in about 10 minutes to start receiving calls. And here, I'm going to read you the number. So if you have a pencil, 347-205-9071. And we do have someone on the line, 905 area code. I hope it's not long distance at this time of night. I hope you can wait a little longer. I want to talk another 10 minutes, and then you'll be first. Again, the call-in number is 347-205-9071. Anyway, we're talking about the twin who, the brother that was in harm's way, he could feel it woke him up in the middle of the night, this anticipant of being really scared. And the energy connecting the two men as in a bond, a love bond of siblings born together. When one was hurt, the other one felt it. But before the injury that led to the man's death happened, the one that would survive, the one in Africa, he felt that man's fear. That truly can scare us. I've talked about a lot of things tonight, our anticipation of watching something and hopes to be scared. It's almost like the affirmation. If there's a heaven, if there's a hell, that means there's a heaven. If there's demons, that means there's angels. If I can get scared to death, what does that mean? Can you be scared to death? Absolutely. If someone is in an anticipative mode of being scared to death, and then they can be and would, I think that can happen. But what I'm speaking to is that your mind sets up the level of fear that you are to anticipate going into an action, and if you anticipate getting hurt, getting scared, or even dying, your energy projects that and puts it out there. Now, next time one of my audience listeners gets in a confrontational mode with somebody, not a lion, tiger, and bear, oh my, but another human being, can you, should you, say to yourself, I am projecting the greatest amount of fear I've ever felt in my life. That individual that's going to and intend to give me harm, feels that anxiety and wishes to work against me and make whatever I'm thinking come true? Or is it that the best way to handle it, and I saw this wonderful show on TV, like I said, I watch the news a lot, but I don't watch a lot of shows. There was this, two individuals. One was a woman, and she had a baseball bat or a broom behind the counter over at 7-Eleven, one of those that oftentimes are kind of a hazardous place to work, and a young man came in, he was going to rob it, and she says, absolutely not. And she got up, she stood up, and she got the broom and whacked the guy. Does that make it work? Sometimes it will. Maybe if she crawled and cried and carried on and stood there and froze, would she have been in more trouble? Maybe so. Kind of jumped a little further maybe than what we want to talk about tonight. But I do believe the level of fear that you're thinking also projects your energy into the environment. The same with the African plains. If there's an animal that is in the bushes and is scared, but the wind is not blowing that scent into the way of a lion. Can that fear generate the interest of the lion looking in that direction? Absolutely. Have you ever heard the expression that fear can be smelled? It's almost like a perspiration or a pheromone going off. Absolutely. How calm can you be in the most treacherous of moments? How many of you have ever been in a car accident in which time has gone very slow? Or because you were going in slow motion, you were able to be very calm, and that injury which you should have had now was not present. Think about that for a moment. I was in a terrible accident when I was only 18, and I remember thinking as a car came flying into the air on top of us that it was so slow. We came to a place where I was noticing how close the vehicle was going to land, and it might land on me. And I remember thinking, I'm going to turn the wheel because I don't want to be in the line of fire. When the police showed up, they said, I don't know how you knew, but you knew to turn the steering wheel a certain way that created your safety. I remember thinking, I wasn't so scared as I was thinking I would like to know what the best way to get out of that situation. In this part of the world, and I know that most of you are aware, I live in an area called the sister city to Tombstone, Arizona. There's Fort Huachuca, and I live in Sierra Vista. Awful, wonderful little communities, Bisbee, Douglas, all western frontier, wonderful Indian stories. Well, the other idea is that it's very open. One night, my husband, we went to dinner, and I offered to drive home. On the way home, two deer jumped in front of my car. His car, not my, his car. And I remember thinking it was going in slow motion. And it wasn't like I was scared. I was trying to think through the best way out of it. When it was all over, I looked over, and my husband was a little bit pale, but he was very calm, and he didn't try to grab the wheel. And I feel like if we learn to keep calm in the most frightful situations, that instinct that kicks in self-preservation, you then can think more clearly. Does that speak to the bump in the night? Should we go to that? I've discussed to you tonight what my opinion is of what really scares us. There's also the idea of Canterbury Ghosts with Patrick Stewart. And like a movie ghost, Patrick Swayze, can we understand that ghosts that are stuck, do we wish to be scared by them or are amazed that they survive? Can we then call upon whatever strength we have inside of us to speak to them, like in the movie, the show every week on Ghost Whisperer, those individuals that are stuck, can we be calm enough to ask them what is wrong, and we help them on their way? How calm can you be in the moment of amazement? There's a difference. I'm now no longer as scared as I am totally amazed at every gesture and everything that's real. There's a silly movie out, and I've made reference to it, it's High Spirits. There's another silly thing out called Beetlejuice, in which two spirits live in the attic. Once the people in the, now remember, this is just a silly thing, but it makes you think. The spirits in the attic, they were haunting, they were just living there. Yet the people in the residence were very scared until they got used to the idea of them there. How many of you, instead of being scared people, would like to share your home with a real post-living being? Maybe a spirit person. Don't be scared. Be amazed. Be understanding. Be compassionate. Be wondered. Is this real? If it's real, then your anxiety and your stress of living and running in place as fast as you can, my gosh, you get to survive. Let's have some more fun. Don't let that scare you. Let that amaze you. And a couple other movies I had. Oh, I watched the greatest one tonight. Like I said, it was on the computer, and it was in the background. I had recorded it from a month back. And chances are, about the pilot, Richard Dreyfuss is in it. It's a wonderful movie on ghost. And the gentleman passed away. He comes back and helps his girlfriend to go on living. Now, that was a really sweet movie about love after death, and he did survive. Another one that really scared me, but I looked at it as entertainment, was The Exorcist. That was very disturbing to me at the time, but now after looking back over years, I chose not to be scared by it anymore. I was more amused by the special effects. Another one out there that is Love Past Survival, which, remember, these are just written for our amusement. I think some of it is clearly written by somebody who has insight, the dragonfly. And the reference to that is movement of an object. When he went to a bed in the movie, the gentleman's wife has been missing since a terrible bus accident. And in the movie Dragonfly, he then goes home and he is having a hard time recovering from the wife's death, and he goes upstairs to finally resolve himself and to clean up her part of the bedroom and put her things away. Well, during the night, one of the items that was her prized possessions came out of a package and rolled across the floor, as did her clothing. And instead of being desperately scared, he witnessed survival, and it made him wonder what else was possible. I want to share a little thing that happened to us. 2 weeks ago, my husband's mother passed away, and I cherished her, and I celebrated her life. She was an older person, and it's never easy to lose a parent. And no matter how old you are, when that parent goes, there is a severing of a lifeline. And 2 days later, after he received, got home from the funeral, he called me into the bathroom area where he was cleaning up to get ready to go golfing. And he pointed to me, and he says, "Is there anybody with me?" Well, unfortunately, I wasn't aware that he wanted to ask. I only had a sense. I couldn't see. He says, "I'm brushing my teeth, and that medicine, you know how you go to the pharmacy, put a little plastic white medicine containers?" He says it was upright, and it tipped over and fell over. And he said he witnessed that. At first, he said, "I was so scared." Then I caught my breath, and I just realized that my mother was communicating to me, and he had no more stress. It was complete. He says, "I have final proof that she is surviving." And all of a sudden, when he said that to me, I heard her giggling. So with that, and that's a wonderful way of getting used to the idea and being in awe. I would like to mention that last week about this time, I was abruptly knocked off the air. And I know that Blog Talk Radio is wonderful, and there's 4 or 5 new sites out there, very exciting. If I'm lost, I will very quickly try to get back on. Now, that little lady, a 905 area code or gentleman, is on hold. I see the chat room has been, I'm trying not to look at it until I turn around because I want to read. But I've been, my eye just caught White Lotus Star, Third Eye. That is an expression I've heard for most of the time I've been in this, as a third eye, the middle of the forehead, that which allows us to see beyond the veil or the dimensions. And clearly, wasn't appreciative of this gift until someone wanted to label me a psychic, and I was so, oh my. And then when I was able to start seeing spirit people, I realized how valuable that third eye became. I would like to invite you to call. Again, I'll give the number, then I want to go to the 905 area code, 347-205-9071. And those that have, remember, I can only give you a minute or two because time does go quick and there'll be lots of things that people want to ask. I see Tully's on. Great. What has scared you? And if I can help you understand, then I'd be glad to. And I'm going to come over here, and the 905 is still holding. Hello, who's there?
Oh, hi. My name is Susan. I'm also known as White Lotus Star.
Oh, my gosh. Hi, Susan. Hello. And what state are you calling from?
Well, I'm actually in Canada.
Oh, my gosh. Hello. Well, what can I do for
you?
I had a couple
of comments for you.
Yes.
The spirit world, obviously, is a very, very real world to any of us that interact in it. But a lot of people, instead of really taking their power back and realizing that they're a spirit too, you're not just your original spark, and you're not just your physical body. You're an emotional body. You're an intellectual body. You step through those to get out into your etheric body, if you've got a third eye that's active, of course you get out there into your active third eye and you start seeing things like different life forces. It explains people that are seeing orbs and seeing different things.
Sure.
But one of the things that I think that a lot of people need to do is they need to take their own power back. You know, like they need to set up boundaries around themselves. They need to, you know, like activate a force field around them so that they're totally and completely protected at all times.
Well, I thank you for that comment. Now, let me just interject this. A lot of people who touch base with me for readings or listen to these shows, and I know a couple of you ladies have been in it forever, some of them don't know that, don't know how to start that process. And I think that getting used to the idea that this is even possible, it's like that proverbial red apple. You want to take a bite of that first piece of knowledge. Clearly, anybody that's going to get into this on a deeper level will come to the realization. But most people, Susan, are stuck in their flesh. They live their life from every breath to every breath, and all they think about. And so by opening up by this show, and maybe yours too, if you have one, is expanding the mind to accept that. And then
well,
that idea that we even said, oops.
I think that the biggest thing is understanding that where we really awaken first is within our dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And yet that's the one area that we go to, say, 8 hours a day. And
mm-hmm.
most people go into their sleep totally and completely unprotected.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And, you know, like as you're working with somebody, like somebody who's working with you, it's like a step, like it's a roadmap to understanding that, you know, you need to step through and connect your three bodies. You need to, you know, have all that in place before you start trying to get into relationships with other people, that you kind of have to have your emotional stuff together. You have to have your intellectual stuff together. You need to have your physical together. And then you need to kind of protect it. You need to kind of put those walls around you so that you can... you know, like stand in your own point of power.
I think that's a wonderful point. And, of course, it all plays in with everything that we're all talking about. And I also agree with you.
Rule that when things show up that I found that's been very, very beneficial for me, and, I mean, I've had visitations for 44 years out of about 49 years that I've been on Earth, is that I always ask whatever shows up, are you from 100% of the Creator's light? And if you aren't, then you are to leave right now and never come back. And it's sort of like I demand and command this with 100% pure intent, you know, like in the loving light of the Creator. And anything that shouldn't be there will disappear right away.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's an unwritten rule in the universe. It's kind of like ask three times. I think that a lot of people just don't ask for what it is that they need. And what we really need, I think, is the understanding.
Well,
you
clearly
know, like
you made a really good point of protecting
of what,
yourself.
And what we truly are, and
mm-hmm.
understanding it isn't something that we're going to learn in a day or a week. It's something that we have to get into the habit of doing all the time. And, you know, it'll just make the work you do with people a whole lot easier
mm-hmm.
because people will truly be able to stand in what I call their authentic power.
Oh, it sounds very good. Well, I appreciate your calling and giving us your impression, and I'll talk about it for a few more minutes.
Okay, perfect. I'm
hanging up.
Your show.
Thanks.
Very good.
Oops.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome, hon. What she was talking about is once you start acknowledging and believing that it's possible, can you, should you go that one more step? I don't know if it occurs to a lot of people until they're into this a lot that we are more than just flesh, that we are who we are because we choose to be here. In my first book, shortly after I got into this world and started exploring, and I know some of you will chuckle with this, I do a lot of praying in my car, not to be safe, but it's quiet. And once in a while, I'll just sit in my car, and it's just my little cocoon of safety. And spirit people speak to me, and they gave me a prayer that's in my first book. I'm the highest vibration, the purest of mind, a child of light, and a child of God. Nothing can hurt me unless I believe it's so. Meaning that if you believe that you are of the God force and of the light and of a great vibration, that nothing can harm you, it's a very short, and spirit people said it encompasses it all. And I go, well, how fortunate I was to get that. I'm sure there's a lot of other prayers. Maybe that was simple for me to remember. But even in your waking hour, in time of triumph, of fear, if you have a spiritual foundation, of course it helps. But in today's world, when I talk to people who are in such strife, and I try to calm them down and give them some sort of foundation and belief, most people are not there. Clearly, people who will tune into my show have had a death in the family or experienced, like I had cancer. We're in the search for something. Those of us that are growing older in the search of an answer. And the foundation of faith that there is more than just religion. It's a continuity idea that what was before is now and will forever be. Spirit people speak to me that since the beginning of time, they are the original energy. I can't even comprehend that. When we watch the shows on TV called The Universe, it's a series, it's wonderful how big the universe is, yet here on this little blue dot in the middle of everywhere, we're experiencing physicalness with the spirit within our bodies. And I've told a few of you that when I blend with people, I go into the base of the neck, and then I find the center of her soul where I travel time. I should be looking at the chat room. I'm sorry. Someone just evidently is thinking of this. We are all spiritual beings, absolutely. It's still that concept that's hard to grasp when we have a lot of fear in our life. And a lot of people, like I said, are trying to get frightened by the shows that are being presented. Spiritual protection, Natalie, that's what we're talking of. Like I said, when I deal with so many people, it's still a concept they're not quite ready to hear. When I was talking of possessions, that's a really real thing to me. And I talk about vibration. And then when I talk to the client, and I don't know if Karen's here with us tonight listening, that is a very real thing to me. But it's more than saying I am of the God force. It's a belief that they cannot be attacked. And, of course, that's faith. Attention's a very powerful visualization with that, absolutely, Telly. Please comment about psychic vampirism of living people attaching themselves to others. Absolutely. How many of you been around a friend that's in drama that has a lot of need? Even if you don't speak, you leave their presence and you're actually emotionally drained. I tell people that we're given one bucket of energy today, every day. You can use that energy any way you want, and that includes people in desperate need of using theirs up to the full extent that they will absorb what is around them, and that means anybody that's in their visual, not necessarily physical, but visual, because we latch on to people by looking at them or hearing them. And so if you're talking on the phone to somebody who's in desperate need, they will latch. People ask me, how do I do what I do? I do monitor. I don't try to do too many a day. When I do fairs, when I'm talking 8 hours, it's an energy high. The next day, I'm really tired. Like I said, I was an athlete for a lot of years. I have a big motor. When I listen to people on death, today was a very tough day, very tough. And I distance myself, and I put a block up, though I allow my energy to go to them, because when people are in the most heaviest of discord or angry at you or in grief with you, they will absorb you. Clearly, it can be also a stranger. I've been places when I've kind of felt it, and I can even look across the room and feel somebody who's in desperate need of energy, and it's almost like they're pulling, walking around, trying to find that person with a high energy level that's very easy for them to stand next to. People have said to me, oh, Nancy, you're fun to be around. Yeah, I love your energy. And I think, gosh, that's really great, except for that person, not the one who says that to me. But then I'm also aware of that if I'm thinking or working or doing something, all of a sudden, and I just kind of bend over, it's wow. And I know that someone has latched themselves emotionally to me, and they want to talk to me, or there's some need that they could be attaching their life force to me and pulling my life force from me to them to make them feel better. That's when you get a reading from me. People have often said, even though I emotionally help them, it's their energy. I am blending with you and giving you me, and that gives you more. And that's the reverse form of psychic vampirism. It's really, it's amazing. It's a real way to do that. Okay, so the Susan calls, easy way to fix that, every time you get in a shower or water, ask that anything plugged in gets electrocuted. I think that's what she typed there. If people are aware of that, Susan, a lot of people aren't aware of that. Like I said, I have my own way of doing it. I visualize it, and I remove it. I do wash my hands a lot. I think that water is very cleansing. But most people in the real world, when I say to them, if you feel that around you, pretend that you're a walnut shell, that you protect who you are. Now, that's not on a spiritual level. That's on a quick thinking, I can protect myself mode. And there are people come to me when I've seen that cord go into them. Actually, just dumbfounds me that is real. Is there such a thing as an energy being from the ultimate universe that can do it to us? Someone's thinking about that. You know what? I'm open to that idea. How do we stop that? There's things in the universe I'm still learning about. Can ghosts do that to us? I'm not sure about that. Someone's thinking about that. Let's see here. Clip and cut cords. You can clip your body. I've done that too. Susan's also mentioned those of you who have felt someone corded to you, you wish not to. A lady calls, she says, I don't know why, but that man I broke up with, his energy's around me, his mind's in, I think of him, I don't want to. I can feel him, I can smell him. I says, he is corded all around you. And there's so many ways of cutting cords, from putting a mirror up to reflect them, visualize a mirror all around your body, to get a pair of visible scissors, just cut them with your hands, pull them off your body, take a shower, wash your hands. I have my ladies and gentlemen, when they've broken up with somebody they wish not to have cording to, go to an Army surplus store and find the biggest, ugliest-looking shoes with the, that's nothing against the military, please, really big combat kind of boots with a steel toe, and crush them off of your body. And a spirit, energy of somebody getting that kind of treatment, they will get that, absolutely. After a while, it may not do it the first time, but after a while it will happen. Telly says something, and if you'd like to get in the chat room, I'm here, and we bounce from 4 to 6 people. So sometimes people are leaving. If you have a question or you say, boy, this scares me versus that, go ahead and write it in or call in. Otherwise, I'll just keep chatting away on this topic. It's one of my favorite ones. A girlfriend and I talked the other day, and I said, in earlier years, I was able to go shopping. You know, we have a bad day at the office, and, you know, shop until you drop. Sometimes it's called window shopping, too. And after a while, I found it more stressful, as though the noise or migraine, you know, you can't stand the light. Well, it's the same with noise, or the same with people too much around you. Their energy forces are so strong that you feel like you're beating them away from you. Is that a form of a psychic vampirism? I don't know, but it's certainly a form of intrusion. And after a while, as you are more intuitive and you stay in this industry or this business or this world, you will become more attuned to outside forces. And that may force you to reevaluate how often you can go public and for how long. I was being real honest with somebody. I don't go to the theater, I rent movies. The excitement, the scare, the thrill, the emotion of audience, not of the movie, can disturb me just as much and more so than the plot itself. Like if there's a drama on the screen, the audience will play it out also. It's more hurtful to me now than enjoyable. So in the comfort of my home, I will rent a movie or just purchase it so I can watch it at my leisure, so I'm not in the presence of that many people. I can go shopping perhaps for a couple hours, and then after that I find it's just too much work. I'd rather not. And that's it. Okay. See, there was a lot of... Like I said, if I get bumped up, audience, I'll be calling you right back and Tully. If at any time I disappear, be sure someone out there let me know. I'm not looking at the phone. I am glancing over at the moment. I would like to address something that is disturbing to parents and children alike, is how do we quell the fear of children? And Susan brought up a point of trusting, believing that we are a spirit in inhabiting flesh to have an experience. But a lot of times it's the children. How do we allow our child to be a child without constant fear, whether it's from a bully at school, whether it's from going to bed and seeing the shadows? There's new theory out there that if you put a nightlight in the child's room, they don't sleep as deeply. Oh, there's so many things out there. How do you know? But I do know that once upon a time I had a phobia to spiders. And I was watching a show, and they said, well, encase yourself with all kinds of spiders. And not that I did it, but I did allow myself to be more involved with the idea that these are living creatures, and it's okay, they have an experience. So then I moved to the country here where tarantulas are very common. And so if I hadn't prepared myself, then that would have been more scary. So in a case of a small child being scared, I'm not saying for you to buy a Big Bird or a Monster Bird from Sesame Street, Cookie Monster, excuse me. But the idea that allow your child to think that there are make-believe stories out there and read stories and say someone made this story up to pretend to scare us. Or buy the child a toy that's scary and say, wasn't that wonderful that someone could be so creative? And by doing that, you sometimes will allow the child to think that it's pretend. Now, that's not going to protect a child from a real spirit in the room, but what you want to teach the child is how to be empowered and say, I control this animal or this toy or this story because I can hold it and I can put it down. In the case of CaliforniaHaunts.com, I would like to give a plug to a couple of groups I'm associated with. blogtalkradio.com/CaliforniaHaunts. It's a group I'm associated with in Northern California, and the organizer is Charlotte, and she had an experience of a family talking to her about a child being scared. And she allowed the child to witness, and I confirmed with her there is a spirit of an old man who lived there prior, and he was trying to scare the child so that the parents would move. Couldn't scare the parents, so he tried the child, and the child was scared. The child, being very young, couldn't communicate, nor could we tell the child, watch this. But the child did witness Char saying and being strong and saying, I would like you to sleep with me in your room. I would like you to lie down, and I'll show you I am not afraid. And I will show you that I can talk to this big, bad boogeyman, and it will not hurt you because I am here now. It was the first time that child slept through the night after she left since the couple had moved in. You have to show the strength of a parent to give strength to a child. And we have to understand that even if you have faith that you're scared of movies or you scared show fear in front of a child, that you're going to exhibit what they will learn from you. So if you have a spirit in your house or you have ghosts that you think and you exhibit fear, you're teaching your child more fear. That has nothing to do with a pre-life memory of which I'm dealing with Amy and her child, nor does it deal with the child not being in your care and being afraid of something. But the first time that child exhibits fear, let's talk about, let's draw it and ask how come. A lot of the fears of childhood will grow into monsters as adults. And this is where the spider thing for me came in. Before my father was killed, we went camping. And I remember showering in what they call the women's section. And I think most of us can remember camps where the floorboards, you could see the slats. And the showers were made out of wood, but with the open top. And my mother, and I must have been five, said, shower, this is your turn. And I looked up, and it was full of spiders. And, of course, when you're only that age, you're going to carry that fear if it's not dealt with to your adulthood. And it was only until, I guess, 10 years ago, when I moved to Poly Pines, that I really saw what spiders were about, and I got used to them a lot. So, anyway, here we have conversation going on, the ladies. Coming down here, I've turned the wrong way. Okay, Kelly's saying if I get bumped off the air, she'll let me know really quick. Okay, she wants me to talk about last night she had orbs buzzing around in her visions. Eyes were closed. I had two lights on in the room, but the orbs were large and small, some with faces in them, concentrated rings. Wow, I just love the idea of orbs. If we can teach our children to be in awe instead of afraid, I find that between the ages of 5 and 8, from all the years of counseling, that the children who, most of us have children that we've witnessed as well, pets that will see the spirit world. When they get back in school, they get in school and they get into an older grade, 7 or 8 or 9, they lose that ability because then they're entrenched in the world of the flesh. And so the orbs or the energy beings of those spirit people wishing to visit us is truly amazing. And clearly the ones with pattern and color are the ones you want. When you watch a paranormal shows on TV, and there's so many that I wouldn't give credit to any of them unless I could give credit to all of them, all speak of orbs and energy. Clearly, we want to debunk them. California Haunts, Char says, we go in with the intent of debunking so that what is left over is truly a manifestation of the spiritual world. I'm also want to give a plug for Ghost Trackers. I think it's all .org of Northern California. That's also California Haunts and my website, nancymaps.com. I'm going to be at a convention in Sutter Creek. There's a castle there. We're going to do an investigation. And the orbs, of course, we want to take the pictures of them, and we'll upload them to our websites. It's going to be very fun and EVPs. So I do like to mention then that I'm active in this kind of organization. Do I need to be? Probably not. But I hope to always teach what I learn from these people who come to the conventions or go through the investigation of people from private homes that will bring in normalcy to their life. Nobody should be scared of what is normal. And that's a manifestation of spirit in the dimension parallel to ours. And orbs are wonderful, wonderful. Clearly on the shows on TV, they try to debunk them by saying it's insects too close to the lens or from a distance a car light coming through the room. But you cannot deny the ones that are in color and who have seemed to have movement, especially if you speak to them, and that which has a pattern seems to have more validity with every group that I'm associated with. Okay, for those who are interested in any electronic equipment, do I know too much about it, very much about it? Most of the time, I just take a little Olympus tape recorder because I enjoy the EVPs like everybody else. Though I can hear spirit people if they talk to me, we're talking about those people who have not clearly passed to a level of spirit but are more earthbound, and they seem to have a voice. So she is speaking of the orbs that she says she saw. There's a couple of people, and my mind, I just kind of don't know the names of the, a lot of websites, spiritual people have pictures of orbs. I don't have mine. I think California Haunts has or will be posting them. Clearly, there's no way to know, but it's a wonderful manifestation if you're able to get it on film. I actually have a photograph of my son and his wife holding a year and a half old daughter. It was Christmas time, and there's an orb above my daughter-in-law's head that's on my refrigerator, cannot not have it, so I can see it all the time. And there's an orb. And it was, the picture was taken with a digital camera. They downloaded it to Snapfish. And when I saw this picture, ordered that, I said to my son, do you have the digital camera, and do you still have that? And he downloaded that. And clearly there's no orbs before it or after it. But it was interesting that 2 months later, my daughter-in-law was pregnant. So I kind of wondered if that orb was the spirit of the unborn with her. Very exciting to think about. See, Tali's talking, and thank you very much, dear. She's so smart. They're very plentiful. Do you know what it means? Not sure. Concentrated rings. I'll go down to her next thought, though. So do you believe they are spirits? Do you ever get the impression they are portals? That hasn't been my impression. I know that there's such a thing as a vortex, energy, opposite sides of the planet. There's mystery spots. I know that the air current and the magnetism of the planet creates portals. As far as an orb being a portal, I'm not positive. I wouldn't want to say that. Clearly, there's too much movement from. I was in downtown Sacramento doing an investigation of a restaurant on a lower level in downtown Sacramento, California. And while the camera was going, that was by a group, ghoststudy.com. And I believe he has pictures posted of a small one going across the floor. And I picked up an animal. It was either a cat or a dog. It was very much of the movement of a pet, of an animal. It was very exciting. I had no sense of a human being in spirit, but of animal in spirit form. So being a portal, I'm not positive. Do they have access to all time? Absolutely. Do they create a portal for themselves so they have access to time? I wouldn't know where they go to get time. How can they see it? Do they live it by just thinking of different time events? Do we coexist with different time slots? There's so many theories out there of spirit being able to be fragmented to different lives simultaneously, or the idea that all time coexists at once. I can't address that because there are orbs and there are spirits. If they were coexisting with themselves in different life experiences, would they then be an orb? Kind of interesting thought. Don't know about that. I encourage, Kelly has another question. Are there anybody visiting her tonight? The call-in number, I had somebody write me and say they didn't know where to get the call-in number. So I want to make sure that I at least offer it out there. Area code 347-205-9071. Just to, if anybody would like to call and tell me or give me a question for themselves, I'll open it up to that, of course. But tell me what scares you. Because the audience, we had 30 listeners last time, may help clear what scares them. And if something scares you, maybe we could take it and explore it just a little bit. I got a father with you tonight, Kelly, a father-grandfather. You did tell me you're a taller lady. This is a taller man. Of course, I don't remember what I told you before, but this man showed me a bending in the back. And he's a thin man, straight shoulders going across. And even though you're very finger, because you shared a picture with me, this man feels medium, complexion to a little bit darker. Here's another question. Do you believe these orbs can blend with us? Absolutely. Just because we see them doesn't mean they don't understand who we are. They can interwork with us, and some of the shows you can see them going back and forth and even coming very close. Oh, did we lose Susan? She must have had to go over to her. She must have had to leave. We're a very knowledgeable lady. I just think there's so many of us out here who have so much knowledge. I hope she has her own show. I'll have to investigate and let you know next time. Anyway, there was a silly movie. I keep calling it a silly movie because halftime I was shaking my head. Oh, I can't believe I'm watching this. Spirit people do tell me that there's intimacy, that they can blend with each other. And I have, on one occasion, felt someone walk through me. And when I was consciously aware of allowing it to happen, there's two ways of looking at it. We call it transfiguration, or we just call it a portion of them becoming us so we can channel. But when it happens, it's an overall tingling sensation. And whether you see them as orb, I see them an orb, and then they make themselves a visual of who they were before. I believe the core of all spirit people we see is the center of, is the outline of a core. So it does happen. When I was very early into training in this environment, I had a spirit person walk through me to share with me what it felt like, and it was quite a trip. It was an electrical charge all through me. Just to let me know what it felt like. I see no harm in it, other than I choose not to now because I don't know who it is. I had one gentleman in a group because I think the audience knows that I do private sessions, but I also entertain a lot. And this one lady was wanting to talk about her father, and I saw this shorter man rushing to me with anticipation of being part of me so he could talk directly to his daughter, really kind of like didn't want to do that. I felt like if he could do that, like a movie Ghost with Whoopi, remember when she would poof, when the spirit people became part of her, I think as a flesh person, I like my own space and keep it that way. That's about the best way I can word it. Okay. Well, we have a quiet night tonight. I know that California is at least at this moment dry. We've had a lot of wet weather. I'm not sure what's going across the country, but I invite you to call in. Otherwise, I'll just keep chatting away. The other thing I would like to speak to tonight is animal spirits. We were talking about what scares us. When I first moved into this area, it is a bright and very open desert environment. And I think that sometimes when a person will ask me, like Tully has asked me who's around her tonight, it's a grandfather figure, that turns a switch on. I have what they call 31 switches, like 31 ice cream. So I say to people, remember the expression 31 flavors, I have 31 switches. And if I have a switch turned on, then it stays on until I decide not to have that switch turned on. So we were talking about spirits, and someone had mentioned that in my area is a lot of dinosaur activity. So probably later in the afternoon, I was talking to my husband in the dining area, and looking out of the bay window, and I saw a dinosaur walk across it through our house. Well, we're talking about that bump in the night, that scare. You know what? That completely took my breath away. I tell people, I see spirit people, and if someone asks about animals, I do see animals. In fact, sometimes I'll see an animal I'm not asking. I have never seen a whale. I've never seen a giraffe or a butterfly. And I think it's because I'm not consciously aware of thinking about it. So when someone was talking to me about dinosaurs, I was programming my mind into thinking about it. So a few hours later, and when I was talking about the dinosaurs, I was talking to a couple who own the Blue-Eyed Witch in Tombstone, Arizona, a very lovely couple, and she has the metaphysical store there, and we were talking about the area, talking about dinosaurs. Well, hours later, in my home, I hadn't turned that switch off, and I was thinking about it, and I saw that. And so it told me that if I start thinking of whales, I will probably see whale spirits. Or would I think of, I don't want to think of a Tyrannosaurus Rex, but that popped into my mind. Now will I see that? It's a form of conditioning. It's people like who are mediums will say, I'm a pet psychic. Well, I'm a pet psychic. And animals are one of my favorite topics because they're so honest with me, as well as children, because they haven't learned to lie. Where adults will lie to me without realizing it because they're afraid of the truth. And so animals are fun, and they're exciting. Oops, here we go, some more questions. We have a lady who's written in about an animal who's sick. I don't believe she will be passing soon, no. Is she suffering, and how long will she be suffering? You know, I don't know how bad she's suffering. She's not letting me see that. So I would say when the animal exhibits lesser quality of life and with discomfort, then that's the choice, that's the hard choice. Right now she's not showing me that. I don't know that I see her living a long time, but perhaps she's older. The disease you told me about, I really don't know about the condition. Does it have a longevity to it? And that it can be turned within a short time, I'm not sure. Discomfort, joints perhaps, but I don't know that the animal is trying to tell me it's time for her to sleep. Okay, that's a very tough question. Grieving over the loss of a pet is as great, because not as losing a child or a parent, but knowing of other death. The empty nest syndrome hit me very profoundly a few years back before grandchildren showed up. Telly, not yet. don't put the animal down yet unless you know the animal is suffering. Write me a notice. Do you sense the animal is telling you with her eyes? Watch the eyes. If the eyes are always sad, then you need to look at how discomfort the animal is. If there's any fever, I watch for fevers. At the moment, I cannot get a fever in this animal. If there's fever, that means the body is struggling. So we need to watch that tully, okay? We have a couple more people in. Hello, everybody. Pisces Lady. Oh, what a wonderful name. Tully says her eyes are sad. Boy, Tully, we have to look at that a little later. The animals. A few years back, I was looking forward to having my husband's youngest son's wife have a baby, as well as my son's wife having a baby. And the first of his two children now he has. And I got an animal. Now that I've had my little boy for 3 years, I've become very attached, and they become our children. So, Tully, I really appreciate the grief you're going through. If you're not ready, don't do it. If you can see the animal suffering, but with love, you have to ask permission of the animal, and then you'll have a sense if it's time or not. Everybody's saying hello. Hello, everybody. Oh, I love these chat rooms. They're so fun. A new interesting way of connecting. I'm learning how to run the chat room, and I've cleared up the problems with the switchboard other than being dropped. That is very scary. Someone in the audience has been thinking out loud of the bump in the night of sitting quietly and hearing noises. Clearly, nighttime is the best time to hearing spirit activity. I don't know who this is. I don't know how I can do this, but anybody want to write in and let me know it's you. Anyway, I was just looking at the screen real quick to see if I get an answer. Tully says no sound. Let me see here. I'm still on, ladies and gentlemen. So everything is working. I'll turn up the volume. Lost sound. Tully, am I still gone? I don't know what to say. I am on. There we go. I'm back again. I have no idea what that was. Sorry, Tully, maybe it was on your end. Okay, bump in the night. I want to go back to that. Spirit communication, spirit activity can be more seen and more perceived when your neighborhood is at the quietest. So that's when you have the spooky movies and theaters all at dark and night times, because you're, my dogs are all barking. You'll hear the chihuahuas in the background. Clearly the bump in the night reflects activity by spirit, and communication is greater when everybody is calmed down. During the highest, most active part of the day, driving around, stressing, spirit has a harder time of letting its presence be felt. Okay, someone is saying, if the audience, if you're losing sound or something's wrong, do a refresh button, because then that puts it back on track. I didn't know that. Thank you very much. PC issue. Sometimes the internet can be a problem. I have found that while I'm moving my mouse back and forth, it seems to stop the screen from going to save screensaver. I think that could also interrupt sound, everybody. I love this. Pisces Lady saying she has a ghost name of Henry. I wish he would pay rent or get a maid or something. She shows a frown. Oh, the audience, if you could visualize, is great. She's even written in pink. So those of you listening, you can get into the chat room, get on switchboard and into a chat room. You know, if we have visitations, we have spirit with us, it'd be fun if they wanted to coexist with us. And people, of clients of mine, have said, we don't mind you here, just don't scare us, coexist with us, or get out. Let's see, I'm laughing. Anyway, it's so fun to watch the chat room. You ladies and gentlemen are just writing back and forth. Can we get them to do more for us? You know, the only thing they can do for us is get some novelty to the house if you sell it. In today's market, there are some states that make you state if you know the house is haunted or not. And in some communities, even in Europe, the house is more valuable if you have a ghost. That's all I can add to that. What's interesting is that I just noticed again, Telly said, what is your ghost name? And she says, Henry. So did you name that ghost Henry, or did you find out through research that you have a ghost name of Henry? Still hanging around. What just popped into my mind was the Haunting in America series. It was about a couple who lived in Middle America, and we're talking about ghosts that can hurt us. And that was something I wanted to talk about tonight, as well as poltergeists, those things that scare us, what can scare us. I had a gentleman call me who was renting his house out in Northern California, and he was quite concerned with a couple living there that they were getting injured and cupboard doors were opening and closing. On further study and blending with the lady, I found her, she was a high emotional state, and she had a couple of teenagers living in the house. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a difference between a ghost that could be part of your world versus a combination of an entity, a ghost who's using your energy to make note that they're there. So things we moved, cupboards open and closing can be scary. Be amused. Don't let it scare you. The ghost will then go away. You've heard the prepubescent females, and I'm not going to exclude males because I've seen high-energy males out there. Henry flushes the toilet. I do believe that. I looked at the screen as I was trying to tell you. When I deal with people with poltergeist activity, I have to examine my energy. Those in the family unconsciously aware that they are projecting energy through emotionality. You can appreciate what temper would look like to a psychic mind. You can appreciate anger and resentment or frustration all the time in someone's home. You may not be consciously aware of it. Should you meditate? Should you relax? Have a good drink? You know what? I don't have the answer. But once you become aware of what's possible, I find that that does disappear. So when I explained it to the man before he gave me more information, he said it's amazing, but it's not exhibited when he's there, only when he's gone. So the dynamics of a family environment out of control created, when he went there just to sit down and talk, they weren't in that explosive manner. It wasn't exhibiting itself around him. So that's very important. Here's another individual. I'm not sure the name, Vince Sanity. Uncle Polly, have a ghost name of Uncle Polly. He's always whacking people and leaving cowheads in their, oh my gosh, from the show, cowheads in their beds. Okay, that's a good one. I'm not positive about hurting and killing. I've never had anything like that happen to me, nor anybody I've ever read. A woman did indicate she had an experience once. But as far as creating wounds on people, I know people in this environment. Remember Susan said, protect yourself in light. I also believe a strong faith that survival is possible and to be amused by life also deters those people in spirit from wanting to harm you. I believe that the emotionality of the family getting harmed has to be created within that individual first. If they believe it's so, it can be so. I believe there's something to do with the spirit person trying to scare one person to get the entire family out when they're threatened. That is something that I don't deal with very often. Possession can hurt you by causing you to feel unwell and cause you more injury and illness. That's something I can help you with. Telly says, good night for the evening. All right. Talk to you later. And we got 15 minutes left. We have some people coming in. Hello, everybody. This is so fun. I love these little smiley faces, and one has his tongue hanging out, I guess, or talking. I encourage you, if you'd like to call in and say hello. Otherwise, I'll just keep talking. There is another area that I'd like to talk about. We were just speaking to the idea of poltergeist activity, and I want to go one more little step with hurting people. Unfortunately, there's human beings, whether the soul can speak to them or not, who've had violence in their life and will continue to have violence. And when they become spirit people, as you are in spirit, in flesh, and that's when I speak of people about, I just forgot what this was about tonight. We're talking about what scares us. And one of the things that does bother me, and doesn't scare me so much as one of the things that I want to speak of, when I discovered that we do survive, it was very helpful for me to understand that cancer was a gift and not the worst thing that could ever happen to me, was that as you live your life, that vibration rate, you will take into spirit. So those people that have caused harm to others in spirit, they can be that same person, angry, frustrated, not out of control. A little note on there, I won't say it. But anyway, you can take that emotion into spirit form. Those that do hurt people in flesh are those people that are harming or trying to harm others, the anxiety and the frustration of being a spirit person and not in flesh anymore. Is that truly what we call hell? Maybe they have to play out and live out what they couldn't in flesh by trying to harm or take control of others? Possibly. So whenever you're around a spirit form that causes or looks like they're trying to hurt, say to them, attitude is everything, ladies and gentlemen. You are in flesh. You are in, have the rights to be alive and not to be harmed. Same with Char. California Haunts, they do have a blog talk show. Look them up. It's wonderful. She exhibited strength against the man that was haunting the house with the child. And our energy changes and becomes more powerful and more assertive and will repel, as in a possession. Your vibration can be the same level as the entity that's possessing. You need to change it. It will slough off, as with turning away a spirit in a house. Now, I believe that everything on the planet has a vibration, including rocks and salt and water. But spirit people tell me they don't have a smell activity. They can't smell smoke. Rock doesn't seem to affect them, but our energy of our life force does. If you have a spirit energy you are not wanting, whether it's Henry or Uncle Polly, you have to believe you are the king of your or queen of your life, and these people are not welcome. They cannot stay if you uninvite them. I think a few years back there was a movie called The Uninvited. You uninvite who you don't want. Just like if you had people in your house for whatever reason, it was a terrible relationship, you break up, they're uninvited in your life. You uninvite spirit to be not in your life. Oh, that's funny. So anyway, there's conversation going on, 3-4 people. I think it's very interesting, the chat room. Oops, my screen just tell me if you can't hear me. Can spirits hear your inner thoughts like telepathy? Great question. As far as it appears, I know you hear people saying, I pray all the time. I'm in my mind, I'm meditating. What you're doing is you're sending energy from your body to the universe. When we all sit and we all pray peace on the in the world, it's not like you're yelling, I want peace in the universe. You're changing your vibration. It's like if you stood there and said, yank, yank, dive, and stars, and said all kinds of explanatives, your energy to me would look very ugly if you're angry, if you start shouting. But if you're calm and you're serene and you're peaceful and you want the world to be at harmony, you resonate harmony from your body. So in some ways, a spirit knowing that you're asking for them, you will resonate their name in some sort of musical notes or musical energy. They know you're coming if you don't speak. Can they enter and hear your thoughts? They steal your thoughts. So nobody is a mind reader. You cannot read people's minds. That's part of our inner person. So we resonate and they can feel. So if you had a spirit you didn't want around, you could think of them, project your energy as, I have a spirit person I don't want here. They pick it up through your energy that you radiate off your body. This person says that, I don't know if you make a reference, if this is Vince as in reference, here's my inner thoughts as in telepathy. Like I said, the few times I've picked up a word or two or a conversation, it's a quick thought that's projected immediately. So if someone, I'm reading somebody and I pick up something quick, that's part of what they're about. So I'm not positive that telepathy is picked up through a spirit conversation. If it is, that's something I'm not experiencing too often anyway. This is another lady who said she had to go see Miss Henry, is here because of my white aura. Does that make sense? Absolutely. There are spirit people that are attracted to the purity of others. Do they need to cross over? Do they need to be around the immense amount of energy that could be part of what you're about? Psychic vampirism, I don't like that term, but it is true. There is some truth in all that. When I first started in this, I was attracting every, oh my gosh, that show on TV, I don't watch all of them, but what I've seen, it's kind of interesting, where the ghost whisperer attracted people who were stuck ghost and damaged from the flesh of dying. And when I first got into this and acknowledged it and welcomed it, I was attracting all kinds of rescue situations. And I said, what's happening? And someone said, you are a beacon to us, as you are a lighthouse to the ocean current, ocean vessels. And it made sense to me that I was asking to help anybody. And that meant I was helping those in flesh and those in spirit. So you are a beacon, and you have a bright light. If you're pure of mind and a high vibration, that would still attract them because they feel that you could help them. So you may be in what we call a rescue situation. You're ready to help others. How can I higher my vibrational level so I can hear my guides and angels? I want to get back to Henry is sensing my white aura. Does this make sense? And it's white. And then she says, should I be frightened by this? You know, that's an interesting question. Up to this point, you have not been frightened. Why would you want to be frightened now? If this is an individual, and this has happened to me, people say, you know, if there's a spirit that needs help, will you help them? I could if I could hear an address and a last name. That's very, very hard. So sometimes I say to people, if you need to help have help passing over, I will help you to the limit I can. There is a limit to what we can do. Ghost Whisperer knows who to talk to and call on TV. That's kind of like amazing to me. Or she seems to be in a situation where she always seems to be around that person. They need to be rescued and the family. That's kind of like TV. In my situation, how I rescue people is I said, let me see what caused you to become a spirit person. And they'll show me the end of their life from falling into the water. This man was burnt in his barn. Another person was put in a chamber underneath a hospital. He got pricked on a fence and got blood poisoning. So when people start telling me of their death and I see the situation, this one gentleman was alligator hunting in the south with his brother, fell over. And what kept him to be a spirit was he was still looking for his brother. The brother fell in and was killed, but passed over, but the brother was stopped. And I says, from the way you wear your clothes and the way the canoe looks to me, it's been over 100 years. I'm going to allow you to see your mother and to go over or the brother that you've been missing. Sometimes asking how they died will give you a clear indication of why they're stuck. Okay? So sometimes just being very calm and talking to spirit, same with vibrational levels. I'm not saying to meditate for hours on time, but by calming your thoughts, which is very hard, controlling your breathing, when you control your breath, your mind shuts down. You can't do both at the same time. Then as you be calm, that's when you say, I would like to have communication with my vibrational level and higher. And then you put a white light around you. You say, I'd like to have the first impression of a spirit guide near me, mother, father, grandfather, whatever, whatever, and get an impression, and then trust that and see what that impression feels like or tastes like, and then that person you know is around you. Have to do it often. I do this every day. I've been doing it for a very long time, all my life, and it takes time, repetitive motions. We only got 6 minutes left or seven, 5 minutes left, so I'm going to read if you have any questions. No, I'm not frightened. I wouldn't want you to be frightened. Oh, because that was to Henry. I think some of the people are checking off the screen. I got three just left. It's getting late. It's 9:30 in California, 10:30 where I live. Any other questions real quick about what could frighten you? Invite anybody to call in or write really quick. I'll talk for a few more minutes. This has been a trial to do 90 minutes. It's really okay. I would love to have a little bit more conversation, but you have to appreciate that I'm constantly in a talking mode. And I'll test my voice and see if I'm tired, too tired the next morning. Otherwise, it's been very fun to keep the conversation going. We've talked about a lot of things. 12:30 where Pisces Lady is. Oh, good for you being able to stay up this late. I enjoy doing this. What an interesting forum from Canada to Florida, all the way to the East and West Coast to Canada. What a wonderful way to have an audience. And I'd like to remind people my website is nancymatz.com. I have six sites. They're all listed on my name, nancymatz.com. I'm on this radio show, California Haunts, Blog Talk Radio also. And I do offer readings. That's what I do for a living. Hauntings are difficult unless you're in my area, but I do remote viewing. California Haunts is in Northern California. March 3rd, I've invited a gal to be a guest, and after a while I will start having guests on. Her name is Karen. I've joined forces with her with Possessions, and I was able to remote view a client of hers, and this is something that I stayed away from. I'm now going to be walking into this environment because I believe I can help people if they're not in your presence with Possessions. Okay. Jen, very nice to have you on the show tonight. Thank you very much. Like I said, after all these years, if I said to you I have thousands of books, you might want to believe me. I've tapped into a lot of wonderful people. I'm absolutely astonished. Blog Talk Radio has around 260 paranormal speakers. And I've been through most of them, believe it or not, listening to a lot of wonderful people. Good night, everybody. If you're hugs, I love this Pisces Lady hug to Jen. There's a lot of knowledge out there. Listen to my truth, take it in, and listen to someone else's truth. Take your truth from it. That's how I've done my life and how I give my sessions to people and my lessons to them also, is that through my truth and the way I word things, I'm going to attract people to hear it my way. I'm very straightforward, and I like to not be scared. I like to investigate. I like to know the truth of the universe. Stephen Hawking and all the wonderful physics that are the men in the world of physics is some of my favorite reads. I like to have the nuts and bolts of the universe. I believe that spirit and how we deal with paranormal is energy. It's not spooky wookiness. Someone's saying about spirit cleaning the house or messing it up. I do have an interesting little issue here. Spirit people are very interesting. I don't know how they do it, of moving things in my house. My husband thinks I'm absent-minded. I said, no, I have tricksters around me. So I feel like there's a couple here, and once in a while things will disappear and they will move them back. Most of the time it will happen at night, or it happens when everybody is calmer. That's when spirit activity can be strongest. And there's some more conversation. These kids are so fun on this Blog Talk chat room. Yes, that's me. That's my picture there. That was taken about a year and a half ago at an event in California. I got only a couple minutes left. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been very fun. The chat room is exciting to watch and the conversation going back and forth. Susan, if you're off or you're listening, you're very knowledgeable. If you have your own radio show, I'll give you a plug next time. You're very knowledgeable. What Susan, who was on very early, was talking about is all that we talked about, attitude and keeping yourself safe, is very important. If you believe that you're part of the God force, nothing can harm you. And so until next Monday night, I want to say goodnight. We have 15 seconds left. It's been fun. My website is nancymatz.com. Thank you very much, and good night, everybody. Bye-bye.